Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So when Florida law enforcement officials busted a human trafficking ring at several spas back in February, including the arrest of New England Patriots CEO Robert Kraft, was just one of the many high-profile business executives accused of soliciting sex. This is just not another celebrity scandal, and it's certainly nothing to laugh about. In short, the wealthiest of the wealthy exploited the weakest of the weak. Human trafficking is a modern-day slavery, and the women rescued in these busts are real victims who have difficult recoveries ahead of them. And to bring some of this to light is Paula Meyer-Bessler. She's a National Director of Advocacy and Awareness for Sail of Freedom and Sail Away Foundation. Thanks for joining us in studio.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
How did this organization first come together?
Well, back in around 2010, 2011, the three co-founders down in Florida recognized that in their own backyards, sex trafficking was taking place. Our American girls and our American boys were being trafficked not only in the TV movie version of like Taken or The International, which is a deep issue, but it really came to their consciousness and to their attention that own children in our own backyards were being taken, coerced, forced, drawn, enticed into this life of sex trafficking, and they wanted to address it. So it started out with one safe residential home and has grown to the national organization that it is today.
And the statistics are horrifying. And right here in Chicago, according to the Cook County Sheriff's Office, 16,000 to 24,000 women and girls in Chicago become victims of sexual exploitation every year. Chicago's in the top five cities. I don't know why I'm surprised by all these statistics, but it just, you don't think it's in your own backyard. Milwaukee to Chicago is a major trafficking belt for children. Over 300,000 American children are taken into sex trafficking every year. One out of three girls, one out of five boys are sexually abused. The average age of entry into sex trafficking is 12 to 14. 75% of survivor graduates of your programs do not return to the streets, which is wonderful. 100% of survivors in the residential program are pursuing their education and career goals. And in Sail of Freedom, you've served 1,500 survivors through the outreach program, and over 700 of those were in Chicago. The victims of this are from every race, religion, and neighborhood and zip code. They know no boundaries.
Absolutely. And you did a nice recitation of those facts. And if I can illuminate a little bit more on that, the statistics, you know, the shocking statistic that you share is that one out of three, every little girl in our country is abused, sexually abused somehow in the safety of her home or her school, and one out of five boys. And what happens is they keep that secret throughout their childhood. And as they get to the point of usually around 12 to 14 years old, something snaps in them about the secret and they run away. They run away thinking that anything out there on the street or anywhere they go has to be better. That's what is happening in their bedroom.
And it happens in their own home.
Yes. It's you know, it's just something that a lot of people don't want to look at. What's good about the situation that's happening nationally and what's been in the news, it's just shifting the conversation. And people, this is getting talked about more importantly. And what Sayla does is shine the light on the darkness of that. But just to return quickly, so these kids, when they hit 12 or 14, they run away. And within 48 hours, 80% of them are approached by a very skilled trafficker. We used to call them predators. They're now truly traffickers who just can be, offer them simply something as, let me get you some food.
What they think is comfort.
Let me take care of you. And these kids don't know what love is. And part of what Sayla's goal, you know, to obviously care for the exploited, but then also to prevent this and teach kids what love is, what respect is, what family is.
I want folks to hear a testimonial from a young woman from the south side of Chicago, and this is what's happened to her.
Sexual abuse started when I was three. I ran away at 12. Men in their late 30s, I thought, were my boyfriends, and them having to have sex with me was love, not realizing it was exploitation. But what did I know about love? I was 13 when I met the man who would become my husband, and he introduced me to trafficking. He forced me to dance in strip clubs because he had to have more money, and then exchanged sexual favors because he demanded more money. It was the darkest parts of my life.
And now?
Now, I've been able to find who I truly am.
So let's talk about SAIL a little bit. So in 2018, you served over 4,000 children and interveners through the prevention program. Over 1,700 girls were in Chicagoland. How do you get to these women? Like that's the one thing. Like, how do you get them out of this? Because they're so wrapped in. They're sometimes locked in houses. They're watched very carefully. They have no contact to the outside world. How do you really get to them?
We have a terrific outreach arm that works very closely with law enforcement, trains law enforcement, and is really boots on the ground reaching these women. Statistically, it takes 7 to 8 touch points with these women to get them to consider and try our program. And that's universal across the country. Each team that works very closely with the Cook County Sheriff's Office and all law enforcement, once we do reach a girl who's ready to come and go under the umbrella of the protection and provision that we provide, they are brought to our residential housing, our safe homes that are in undisclosed locations that are very critical. And we have a very extensive program to let them restore and relaunch. And we, including all types of trauma therapy, pet therapy, dog therapy, horse therapy, traumatic therapy, everything they need to recover, to rest, and to relaunch into life that they were meant to lead, rather than what the life they've been forced into.
Well, and get them educations. I think a large majority of these girls, if not all of them, don't even have a high school degree at this point.
No, and at SAILA, 100% of our girls that we have cared for and had the honor of working with have achieved their GED.
That's great. And this year, of course, the organization is expanding programs exponentially across the country, including right here in Chicago, and that's why you're here.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's my honor to be the National Director of Advocacy and Awareness, so which includes not only the awareness, shedding the light, literally, on the darkness of sex trafficking, but working with all the legislatures from Tallahassee, Florida, the state legislature there, Madison, Wisconsin, Springfield, Illinois, but Washington, D.C., and the laws that will shift and impact this greatly, but working across grassroots efforts as well to bring awareness, to bring financial support, to bring legislative support, and to really make an impact and to be cohesive and collaborative in our work together.
Now, sex trafficking is really a supply answer to a demand problem. So as long as there are men and women in this country who are willing to purchase sex, there will be traffickers who are willing to sell it and sell by any means necessary, including threats, intimidation, violence. Ending human trafficking means ending the demand that drives it, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And when you speak about it, just I'm going to give you another statistic that's very jarring. A trafficker can make up to $250,000 per child that they're trafficking. And unlike drugs, this is a commodity that they can use over and over again. They don't have to resupply. In our country, sex trafficking is a $32 billion industry, second only to the drug trafficking. So, yes, the demand is obviously, and that's part of changing the conversation as well.
But I feel like even when I'm driving around the street and I see a strip mall and I see one of these spot places, I kind of think in my own head, this is dirty. Why are these places still open? How is it possible, whether it's the city of Chicago or any of the suburbs, don't know about this?
Exactly. Well,
I'm confused and it's just so complex to me that those places are still open.
Well, and a lot of it is changing that conversation again. People are thinking that there's this misconception that women are choosing this, especially if they're over 18 or they look over 18 or their children. Nobody chooses that. There's no such thing as a prostitute who's chosen this life, or even for that matter, a seventh grade slut. Those are just girls with a sad story. Those are girls with a long journey and a sad story.
And it shouldn't take the public shaming of the owner of a winning Super Bowl team for this issue to make headlines. I mean, it shouldn't take it to that point, but it probably brought this to a brighter light, at least in the last couple of months.
Yes, I think it has. And that's where we have to shift the conversation, focus on changing it. And your point about the demand is a critical one. How are we viewing these women as victims, or are they getting arrested? And the law enforcement, all the training that SAILA has done, but really with the openness of the law enforcement across the country, they are realizing that these are not victims, that they're signs of sex trafficking. We piloted and have the first prostitution diversionary court in Florida, which is working.
I read about that, yeah.
Yes, and it's very impactful. So hopefully that'll become a template model for the rest of the country. But once the law enforcement started shifting the focus, these are now victims, and the country starts to shift, hopefully we will impact that demand.
Yeah,
and someday eradicate it.
What about prevention? Because, okay, so now your boots on the ground, getting people out of it. How do we prevent getting people into it? Because the first step in fighting it is making potential buyers aware. So there's some awareness in here that they're probably not buying sex from a willing sex worker, but from a slave who's forced to perform these acts. So how do we first prevent them from entering this to begin with?
So this is another part of the taking the Saylan National, and in the last several years that we are director of prevention, and all of our prevention programs have been rolled out, which are very evidence-based curriculum from three-year-olds through high school to really bring awareness to kids to the sign of sex trafficking, to realize when they're on Fortnite and someone approaches them and says, hey, I'm your boyfriend, after several conversations, send me a new picture, that they realize that that's a sign. There's multiple signs, and our children have to be educated, and we have those programs for every age group. And so that's a huge impact. And then the prevention from the demand side, or how do we prevent from the buyers who are unaware? A huge part of it is, and what we're looking for is champion defenders, which include men. We have many women champion, but there's many great men who are standing up and being champion defenders with us. And that's another way to educate in a generational approach as well, to teach our children what is sex, what is love, what is respect. It's not okay to buy sex, a body for sex.
Yeah.
So a lot of it, there's prevention on both ends, but we have a very purposeful curriculum for our children on prevention.
And you have quite an extensive awareness campaign as well. So that's what you're talking about a little bit. And what we're talking about is, again, making those potential buyers aware that, this is not from somebody that wants to do this.
Yes.
Well, either way, by the way, it's both of them are terrible. But specifically, you've got to think that through when you're actually going up to one of these spas or going to one of these places, right?
Yes. And these women and boys, these girls and boys are terrified, and they are trained to defend their traffickers. So, and they are trained to act a certain way. So they don't know. So it is up to the people soliciting the sex, paying for it, to be aware and to have knowledge that maybe these people are not there for on their own
Free will. Yeah, they're not there on their own free will. But that goes back again to saying that I don't understand why these places are open. They're obvious. They're obvious to, I think, every human on the planet what that place is when they drive by it.
And I think a lot of people are uncomfortable and they turn the other way. This is an uncomfortable conversation for many people.
But I'm talking about law enforcement. Like, law enforcement must know there's something illegal going on in some of these places. Like, why they're still open is just beyond me.
And I think we are shifting that, and the conversation is shifting as we work with more and more law enforcement partners, which we are so grateful for. I think it is shifting, not quick enough for probably you or me, but it's shifting.
How can people help your organization? Like, what are just some of the ways? I know you've got, tell me the story about this house.
So we have a house. We don't disclose where they are, but it's close to Chicago. And we were donated a house, 7,700 square foot house, which could provide 20 beds for girls directly off the street. We have different houses for different stages of the women's recovery. And it was donated, and due to some extenuating circumstances, the house became a
not
bit
habitable.
Of the Uninhabitable, a bit of the money pits, kind of down to the studs, but we're very committed to seeing it through. But to finish what we need to do to get these girls quickly into the beds and into the safe home is, you know, we have $1 million budget to finish it, but to staff it as well. And in the way you can help, directly on our website, SaylaFreedom.com, right on the front of the website, it says, see the WGN TV Live, which we also did that today. And how you can help. And there's pictures of what the house currently looks like, but also then a current safe house that we have that shows the beauty and the restoration that we're moving towards. So even $25 or even $25 a month, people can help individually at any level. And with each dollar we get, we can move forward one more bed.
So if you have victims that you know are in the sex trafficking business and you want to help them, there's a way to do that as well.
Absolutely. We have a toll-free number, 1-888-8-FREE-ME. Again, that's 1-888-8-FREE-ME. Free Me.
And again, the website is selahfreedom.com, and it's S-E-L-A-H, freedom.com. Paula, thanks for all you do and for bringing this to light with us tonight.
Well, thank you so much for your conversation and for bringing it to light with me.
My pleasure. All right, it's 720 WGN.